heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. Happy to have the opportunity to spend the hour ahead with you. Thanks for tuning in. Recently, we had a segment on pilgrimages to the Holy Land with Bob Swift of St. Gabriel Holy Land Pilgrimages. And as always, you can check out that podcast interview on your favorite podcasting platform. Just search for Practicing Catholic Show. But I bring it up because, just wondering, have you been to the Holy Land? For those of you who have, I'm betting one of the many holy sites that you visited that you probably vividly remember is the Mount of Beatitudes, there overlooking the Sea of Galilee. I know it sticks in my mind. If it does in yours as well, you're in for a treat this Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, because our gospel lesson is the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. And I'm sure you'll have images of the place rolling through your mind as you receive Jesus' teaching in Mass. But whether you've been there or not, the teaching of the Beatitudes can and should stick in our minds, inviting us still deeper into our relationship with Jesus. In the midst of a world that promises all sorts of ways to be happy, Jesus himself is revealing the authentic ways to live a fulfilled life, to be who God created us to be. With each blessed are, Jesus is actually saying, happy are, for beatitude means happiness. And you know as well as I do that the Lord's prescribed means of happiness, the practices and attitudes he's promoting, stand in stark contrast to the suggestions for achieving happiness that our world and our flesh offer. For example, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, when the world would suggest independence and self-sufficiency. Jesus says, blessed are they who mourn, when the world tells us to do all we can to avoid situations of sorrow and disappointment. He says, blessed are the meek, when society promotes exhibiting power and strength at the expense of others. He says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, when our flesh hungers and thirsts for all sorts of earthly pleasures. He says, blessed are the merciful, when our world continually shows us the way to happiness is overpowering and silencing those different from us. He says, blessed are the clean of heart, when the world seeks to silence the voice of conscience and obliterate the sense of guilt. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, when our society endlessly seeks to have us identify, then come to hate, and then mercilessly wage war on our enemies. He says, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, when we are constantly told not to let anyone insult us without mustering a flurry of consequences to rain down on those who would dare speak ill of us. So, brothers and sisters, we have a choice to make. It's a choice we need to make once and for all, and at many moments throughout the day. Will we believe Jesus as the author of life when he tells us the way to happiness? Will we commit ourselves to living out the Beatitudes by seeking justice and humility, by speaking and acting with prudence, dedicated to charity in all things? The temptations not to do so are very great indeed. Nonetheless, I hope all practicing Catholics will join me in saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and thereby live a blessed and happy life. Coming up on the show today, we don't like to play favorites, but we know he's your favorite guest. Coming up, our monthly conversation with Archbishop Hebda. Our shepherd talks Catholic schools and Bishop-elect Eisen's ordination this spring. Plus, new year, new look for Catholic schools in the Archdiocese. Dr. Jason Slattery, the Director of Catholic Education, is here to discuss the new brand, colors, and why Catholic schools are so important. And sticking with our theme, we'll explore Catholic school scholarships with Laura Hester from the Aim Higher Foundation. That's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here at the top of the show, we're going to start things off at the top. Archbishop had to sit down with Tom Halden, our Director of Communications, to talk about the March for Life, Bishop-elect Eisen, and our Catholic schools. Let's listen.
Archbishop Hebda, welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Great to see you. Great to have you here. Since your last visit, you've been a little bit busy. This is just the highlights. We have a new auxiliary bishop named, which we'll have the ordination coming up in April. Retreat with the other bishops of the province that you do every year. And then you just returned back from the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Let's talk just real briefly about the march. I know this is one of your favorite things. Young people energize you, especially when they're passionate about something that matters like human life. So how was it?
So, Tom, I would love going to the March for Life in any circumstances. It's been part of my life since I was in high school myself. And I really appreciate that opportunity to show my support for that cause. And I'm always inspired by the number of people who come out a year after year. So that's great. But what is really the icing on the cake when I have the opportunity to go now is that we go with a group of young people from our archdiocese. So as special as it is to go to the march anytime, to be able to go with four busloads of mostly high school students is a great pleasure. Now, I have to confess, I don't go with them on the bus all the way from Minnesota. So I meet
I wasn't going to ask you that.
Yes, thank you. You're too kind. But nonetheless, so I missed that opportunity to be with them for all of those hours. But we did have a great opportunity each evening to kind of unpack the day. We had the opportunity to celebrate Mass each day. I really was so impressed by the quality of our young people, not only their commitment to life, but also their ability to articulate why they're opposed to abortion, and really even to be able to explain the philosophy and the theology behind the respect for each human life. And just their prayer was magnificent, their creativity. You know, each night, Bill Dill, who leads the archdiocesan group, would ask the young people to come forward with any poems or chants or anything that they wanted to share. And each night, it was just so inspiring to hear their poetry or a rap or just some chants that they wanted to offer that we could use in the course of the march. And I have to tell you that is, you know, thousands and thousands of young people there. Ours were obviously the most creative too, and also the most vocal. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. They were also really prayerful too. You know, they stepped up and led morning and night prayer each day for us. And we had a good group of seminarians with us who kind of set the bar kind of high when it comes to liturgy. And our high school students stepped into that and did really, really well. So I feel blessed to have been there. We had a beautiful liturgy at the Basilica Shrine of Immaculate Conception. And it was with young people, really all people, from all over our country. Bishop Burbage, who is the chairman of the Bishops Pro-Life Committee, had the opportunity to preach that night. He did a great job. But I was listening to all of the young people as they were coming into the Basilica for the first time. And for most of them, from all over the country, most of them, I've never seen a church this beautiful. And then from the our group, they were saying, this is almost as beautiful as the cathedral in St. Paul. So we realize how blessed we are.
How hopeful is it? You know, we're in such a really difficult time in our country. You know, the Dobbs decision last summer. So for much of the country, or in some spots around America, abortion is no longer allowed. Here in Minnesota, you know, there's legislation going through that could increase access to abortion. Was that difficult for our group? I mean, to try and celebrate the end of Roe versus Wade 50 years later, but also knowing what they face here at home.
Yes, it is very difficult. And because there certainly is that desire to celebrate, but at the same time recognizing that our work in so many ways is just beginning. And I think our young people are ready for that. And I think they're inspired to go forth. Every year I'm really impressed with the young people who go. And I think that's where we see that the tide is indeed turning. And and even though we face difficult legislative battles around our country, at the state level at this time, I have confidence that our young people, as they reach voting age and as they become more engaged politically, that they're going to be able to change things. So that's a great blessing.
Yeah, the increase of the pro-life generation. Love that. Thank you very much for sharing that. I know it wasn't on our topics of conversation, but I really wanted to get your heart on that.
It's amazing, it's a joy. The young people bring all kinds of interesting shirts and sweatshirts. You know, it's pro-life swag, I guess you could call it. But one of the sweatshirts was, we are the post-Roe generation. And how wonderful that we're at that point where Roe versus Wade is no longer the law of the land.
Yeah, but as you said, the work also, you know, just beginning. But as the Catholic people, as United people, we're very hopeful, and we know that that God is on our side. Well, let's switch gears a little bit here to something else that's joyful and joy filled, and I know this is going to help you, and that's the appointment by Pope Francis of a new auxiliary bishop happening on April 11th at the cathedral. So that'll be the ordination of Bishop Elect Eisen, pastor of St. Michael's and Mary in Stillwater. First reaction to that: were you as surprised as the Bishop Elect was?
Well, I was just delighted that the Holy Father was giving us a second auxiliary. We haven't had two in a while. And even more delighted when I learned that he had chosen Father Eisen in particular, now Bishop Elect Eisen. You know, in these years that I've been here, I've come to really recognize the pastoral skills of Bishop Elect Eisen. And, you know, he serves very well at the moment, three parishes. So you mentioned St. Michael
too,
and St. Mary, but also St. Charles and Bayport. Yeah. But as I've come to hear people speak about him at St. Raphael's in Crystal and then at St. Timothy's in Maple Lake, I realize that he's been a fruitful pastor, a successful pastor in very different situations. And I think that bodes well. You know, Pope Francis is always looking for shepherds to be bishops. And I'm delighted that he was able to turn his gaze to the St. Croix Valley and to find another bishop from our priests. I know that Bishop-elect Eisen will be missed in the St. Croix Valley, but I am just so excited about the work that he's going to be able to do. I have a sense that he's very respected by our brother priests. He has a real passion for Catholic education. He's a superb liturgist, has a sense of beauty. I just think he has so many gifts, and I'm anxious to see how it is that the Holy Spirit will use them here.
Yeah, he was surprised. I think, you know, his family, obviously, and it was a wonderful introduction and news conference here at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center to the staff just before our post-Christmas party, really, Epiphany party, as it were. He's just so humble and almost an introvert, wouldn't you say?
I don't know if he's an introvert, but he certainly is. He's not a man of many words.
Yeah.
And he relates really well, easily to people. That's why I'm not sure about the where he would be on the introvert-extrovert scale, because he's so good with people.
True.
But he certainly doesn't use a lot of superfluous words. So I appreciate that. But he's always been good. Not only does he uses very well the consultative bodies in the parish, so the finance council, the parish council. He's really worked well with priests as assistants. I've always tried to give him seminarians as well in the course of the summer, because I knew that he would provide a good example to them of a joyful priestly life. Mm-hmm. So he's an impressive fellow. And as I keep hearing in the week since the announcement, people keep telling me he's a 3M-er. I said former 3M-er. He had worked for 9 years for 3M. And, you know, so mm-hmm. many people in our archdiocese have ties to 3M. So I think they were particularly happy about that.
Yeah, and you alluded to it a little bit earlier that his experience and his sensibilities now, you know, growing up in southern Minnesota in a pretty rural area in Fairmont, and then working at Divine Mercy, and then coming up in you know, Maple Lake, and then Stillwater, and he just great experience as a pastor, and then having that business experience coming from a family of six kids, it just seems to be a really whole person with some great experience to help him as he becomes a shepherd here too.
Yes. No, I think you're right on that. One of the things that's interesting, when the nuncio was here for Bishop Williams' ordination, you know, the bishop is from a large family. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the nuncio had said, Archbishop Pierre, was that if a man who's able to navigate a large family is able to navigate a diocese, huh? And that just, I think, that give and take that we have with brothers and sisters keeps us humble. Same time, also makes us sensitive to the needs of others. And I think that he's helped the Holy Father to find another wonderful priest like Bishop Williams is, who will be a really good bishop for us.
Is it too early to talk about what maybe some of his duties will be? I know that his Episcopal ordination doesn't happen until April 11th, but you know, there's some folks have been asking, and I know that there are things happening here in the Catholic Center as far as, you know, who's dividing into what work areas. Any indications? I know he's a big supporter of Catholic schools.
He is. So we'll still be talking about that a lot. I've promised him I wouldn't bother him too much until the ordination, April 11th. He's going to have to make a retreat as well before that. So we'll be speaking about all of those things. And then I've asked him to stay on at the parishes in Stillwater and Bayport until the next clergy change, which is usually beginning of July. So he's going to have a lot on his plate. But during that time, we'll be talking about how it is he might best serve the archdiocese. And I'm excited about that. I know we will put him to work already this spring with our spring confirmations. And that's such a wonderful way for somebody to grow into being a bishop too.
I mentioned that, you know, he's at St. Croix Catholic now and part of his work with St. Michael and St. Mary. So let's talk a little bit about Catholic Schools Week, January 29th to February 4th. What does Catholic Schools Week mean to you? And you have a great heart as a Catholic school kid and someone who just values it in today's world especially as well.
I think it gives us a couple of opportunities, Tom. First of all, to celebrate the work that's done in our Catholic schools and how it is that they continue to give our young people a close encounter with Christ. And in the midst of providing them with an excellent education in reading, writing, and arithmetic, that they're also given that opportunity to come to know Jesus, to be able to come to know the importance of prayer, to be engaged in the sacramental life. So we celebrate that. The second part of Catholic Schools Week that I love is also a way for us to promote the schools too. You know, there are so many families who really aren't familiar with Catholic schools, or at least not as they once were. And so for our neighbors to hear about the great work that's going on in our Catholic schools and how well the students in our schools perform and about the environment that's there that's so supportive of really the development of the whole person, that if we're able to share those things with our neighbors, that we have an opportunity of helping them to see the value of maybe sending their own kids to Catholic schools. And we've been blessed in these last few years that we've seen growth in most of our schools and in the system overall. So that's obviously a great sign. One of the things that during the COVID pandemic was that some people came to know our Catholic schools for the first time, and we were a little bit concerned that after the the COVID situation had died down, that maybe they would go back to the schools from which they came. And our experience is that most people, when they come to know the schools, to experience how valuable they can be for their children, that they decide to keep them there. So we've seen that kind of growth, which is a great sign for us. So I would say that the celebration, the promotion, but then also trying to encourage people to support the schools. Even maybe their grandparents or great grandparents, or maybe they're just recalling their own Catholic education. But we know that for many of the families in this archdiocese and other places of the country, that one of the barriers to Catholic education is the financial aspect of that, right? And so if we're able to use Catholic Schools Week also to attract some resources to our schools, all the better, so that more young people might have that opportunity for an encounter with Christ in our schools. So I'm really excited about it. We always try to go to some elementary schools, some high schools. It's always I'm always amazed by the creativity, the ways in which the schools celebrate their own identity. So I look forward to that this year for sure.
Thank you, Archbishop Hebner. We are out of time with you this month. Really appreciate you having the time to, and willingness to sit down with us and chat with us about these really important things. And I obviously look forward to our talk next month. Can you, as you depart today, give us a quick blessing?
Absolutely, Tom. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and upon all of our listeners. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tom and Archbishop Hebner. To learn more about our Catholic schools and Bishop-elect Eisen's ordination, head on over to our archdiocesan website, archspm.org. We're about halfway through the 2022-2023 school year. Up next, we look at new efforts to unify Catholic schools all around our archdiocese. Stay with us.
This is what real freedom is.
Dr. Edward Sree.
Our culture says, do whatever you want. But the Catholic understanding of freedom, a biblical understanding, is much deeper than that. So I always say to my students, are you free to play violin? And on one hand, they say, oh, yeah, I like to play violin. And okay, here's a violin. Now go play me a Vivaldi concerto. I have a boy that plays violin. He can actually play Vivaldi. But my students, they're free to make noise. They're not free to play the violin beautifully. And that's a good way of looking at life. Modern American says, oh, yeah, you're free to do whatever you want. But a Catholic would say, well, do I have the virtues to do that? Generosity, patience, self-control, courage. Then I'm going to be free to make my life a gift to God and my family and my friends. If I don't have the skills of a violinist, I'm not going to be able to play the violin with excellence. And if I don't have the virtues, I'm not going to be able to imitate Christ, to be a good son of God, to be a good family member, to be a good friend.
Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
We are the violin. God is the bow. Love is the music.
Relevant Radio.
Catholic Schools Week is upon us once again here at Practicing Catholic, and I gotta admit, it's such a wonderful time of the year. Especially now that I'm serving in a local Catholic school here in rural Wisconsin, I can say there's a fresh appreciation for all that goes on behind the scenes to ensure things are running smoothly in our schools. Our friends in the Archdiocesan Office of Mission for Catholic Education, of course, are working year-round to serve our local Catholic schools' needs. And this year, they have a new look to enhance their mission. Jason Slattery, Director of Catholic Education for the Archdiocese, is joining us today to chat about their recent rebrand and all the excitement around Catholic Schools Week. Jason, welcome to the show.
Patrick, it's great to be with you, and I'm glad to join your audience here today. Appreciate your support of Catholic schools.
Absolutely. We're happy to do it. But let's start with the basics. What is Catholic Schools Week, and how do our schools typically celebrate it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say first, I hope your listeners see at work in their local Catholic schools what the church teaches about a school, what makes our schools really different, and that is that Christ is the foundation of the whole educational enterprise in a Catholic school. His revelation gives new meaning to life and helps man to direct his thoughts, actions, and will according to the gospel, making the Beatitudes norms of his life. And that important vision for Catholic school is one of the things that gives this week such deep and great meaning for the church, especially in our Catholic school communities. It's a chance this week, across the country for that matter, to step back and reflect on the transformative possibility that Catholic schools offer in the life of the church and the community. It's a nationwide celebration of Catholic education. It's an occasion for us to give thanks to God for the gift of Catholic schools and ask for His grace to carry on this work. And most centrally in our schools, especially for the kids, it's an opportunity for our school communities to gather together for prayer, especially in the Mass and in Eucharistic adoration, and to go out and to serve in the community in a greater way, really celebrating our mission to form students in mind, heart, and soul. We're really so grateful for the chance this year to celebrate Catholic schools across the Archdiocese. And Patrick, we've got some beautiful stories. I wish I had time to share all 31,000 or more of them, of course. But I would tell you, you know, in one of our beautiful Catholic schools in Fridley, you know, right on the other side of Minneapolis, Immaculate Conception in Columbia Heights, we've got a third grade teacher there who's working with their students to have them pray the rosary for each Catholic school of the Archdiocese during Catholic School Week. And in addition to that, we're taking some time to send some notes out to those schools, tell them that they're praying for them, and asking those schools to pray for each other. And that's just a beautiful point of solidarity that comes to us in this great week of Catholic Schools Week.
Yeah.
So thanks for the question.
Yeah, celebrating that there is a unity to be had amongst the archdiocese and Catholic schools, absolutely, as they're all serving the greater mission, as you've said. And I know that that's one of the roles of your office, to continue that mission, but also to continue the unity that is to be had between our different Catholic schools. But maybe give us an idea of other ways that the Office of Mission, and I realize, again, we need much more time, but how the Office of Mission of Catholic Education supports all of our archdiocese and Catholic schools.
That's right. Our office provides vision, support, and direction to all those who teach in the name of the Church within the Archdiocese and schools and parish catechetical programs so they can achieve their mission to proclaim Christ and form authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. And practically, we accomplish that, especially to work directly with pastors, canonical administrators, heads of schools, directors of parish catechesis, to help them kind of work on their local Catholic school and really to help set it up better for success now and in the future for generations to come. We have some beautiful initiatives that are at work in our system right now, one of them being the Drexel Mission Schools Initiative, where we reach out in a special way to our urban Catholic schools that are really helping families in a special way. We work especially in the area of teacher and leadership recruitment. So much of probably what makes your local Catholic school work so well are well-equipped and well-formed teachers and well-equipped and well-formed leaders. Mm. And someone has to be really attentive to that deep question about what a teacher and what a leader is in the Church. And that's something that is really natural to the work of our office at the systems level. If you thought of a school district, any other school district, our office serves in a similar way for the 91 Catholic schools in the 12 counties of the Archdiocese.
You know, as you're speaking there, Jason, I'm intrigued by, and I'm hearing a lot of great vision, a great mission. You've used those words a lot, that there are a number of different ways that you serve in these ways. But, you know, being on the ground now for really the first time in rather an intense way in a Catholic school, I've noticed that, I mean, there are a lot of things that our administrators and our faculty, our teachers, our staff, that they deal with here in just the ordinary life of a Catholic school. But you know what? I'm pleased to hear that this is not just a matter of, you know, putting out fires, right, and keeping the trains running on time, but there's really an initiative to drive ahead. That's what I'm hearing, right?
That's exactly right. Absolutely. And it's focusing largely around kind of strategic priorities that as a church we have to think together about if we're going to help to realize a real bright future for Catholic education. At the school level, the important work especially is the focus on our students and on our families and really working well with them. But on the systems level, what we're trying to look at across such a large territory in the Archdiocese is what is the health and vitality of the whole of the project? What are the critical questions that that project really needs to be concerned with as we look out over 25, 50 years even? And where do we really have to be thinking and planning? And those two things really need to work together in great harmony and really mutually enrich each other. And it's a great opportunity, you know, for our whole team here at the office to really be in the seat every day of trying to help our Catholic schools as they grow and as they excel.
Well, let's talk about the rebranding for a bit. The Office of Mission for Catholic Education just launched a new system-wide brand for Catholic schools. Now, since this is a radio show, of course, we can't show our listeners what the brand looks like. So maybe could you describe it some for us and the symbolism that's there behind the new branding, the new logo?
Boy, that's a hard task, sir, to depict for your readers or your listeners what readers might be able to see with greater clarity. So what I'd say first is I'd really encourage listeners to really read about the brand and see the logo in the January 26 issue of the Catholic Spirit, where they'll see the whole of the thing. But what I'd say, you know, to paint a bit of the picture is I hope what you'll see there is something visually that is bold, it's vibrant, it's joyful, it reflects so much on the project of Catholic education when it's at its best. It's intended to inspire people to learn more about Catholic schools, people who are in our pews, in parishes, but also prospective families maybe that are in the broader community. The project of Catholic education seeks to help students grow in the virtues of wisdom and holiness, especially, as really kind of great good. So what we've chosen to set, especially in the brand, kind of central to it, is an icon inspired by art that depicts Mary, Seat of Wisdom, Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom. And in that depiction, it contains layers of symbolism that lay the foundation for the whole of the Archdiocesan Catholic school system. So we see in that image of Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, a beautiful image of Our Lady and the child Jesus that reminds us so much of the care and trust that we seek in a Catholic school. It's an image that reminds us as well of the gift of being open to life and the importance of trusting that God has a purpose and a plan for every human life. We see in the center of the icon an image of an open book that really evokes the Gospels and the Lord's command to go out and to teach all nations. The book also reminds us of the fruit of rigorous study and prayer, which itself is wisdom. So if folks have seen beautiful images of Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, maybe in their travels through the church, there's some beautiful ones here in this archdiocese, a very remarkable one of them, in fact, at the Convent of the Visitation in Mendota Heights. It's an image, ultimately, that we really hope will help to strengthen kind of our system around some very kind of key areas. And I tell you, Patrick, you know, when we were looking at the question of what to do with a systems brand and kind of how to think about that in the abstract even, we benefit so much from holy patrons, and we're grateful for the opportunity of placing the whole of our system under the protection and care of Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, hoping and praying that she will intercede for us in our work with scholars and saints in the making. And so I hope that many of your listeners will look to the Catholic Spirit, especially to maybe look at that logo themselves. And I hope they find their, source of great consolation.
Well, you said it was a daunting task, but Jason, I got to say that you did it justice. And I think when it comes to looking at brands and that sort of thing, we can just let our eye kind of casually go across it. But you really opened up to the thought and the care that went into forming this new brand. So we're speaking with Jason Slattery, Director of Catholic Education for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, about our Catholic schools as we're entering into Catholic Schools Week, and as specifically around this rebrand that the Office of Mission for Catholic Education in the Archdiocese has recently undergone. So, Jason, why you hinted at this, or you started getting into this, but why rebrand and why now?
Yeah, it's a huge, it's a big question. And there's always a lot of kind of projects and considerations at work when we're looking at a Catholic school system. I tell you, right now is an exciting time in our Archdiocese. We're able to unify and strengthen the work of 91 Catholic schools with the new systems brand. Our work is guided by Archbishop Hebda's urging that Catholic education is a priority and an essential ministry of the local church. To help advance this vision alongside school and church leaders, the new brand will position the Archdiocese as the central public-facing voice of our system, which serves more than 31,000 students pre-K through 12th grade. As a district, by enrollment, we're the fourth largest in the state of Minnesota, and we represent over 40% of the non-public school students in the state. And so for us, especially looking at, the struggles of the pandemic and how much, in fact, that did draw us together during a very important period for families especially, we've experienced our third consecutive year of enrollment growth. From the pre-pandemic to the present day, the system's up over 9% overall. And that period of the pandemic was a good reminder of this important to really kind of pull together around some very strategic areas. So we think that Catholic education is a great gift that should be available to all those who desire it. And so we hope the new Catholic school brand will boost efforts to attract new families from all backgrounds to see and experience the value of a Catholic education. And that's a voice that we can have across the system and as we sit here in a state. The brand will also help us to uphold the integrity of our system, to align expectations for what it means to be a quality Catholic school, and it will provide consistency in marketing and communications efforts. Forgive me. Really, the branding effort will reach every area of our work, which also includes advocating for Catholic education and the rights of parents at the state level, and attracting and retaining top talent for our school's system. So we've got a series of social media points that folks can kind of follow that new brand. I would tell you it's a companion brand to the local Catholic school brand. So we're not seeking to displace at all. Some of the beautiful branding work that depicts in such a clear way the work of local Catholic schools, rather it's one to sit and to strengthen and be in companionship relationship with that local brand. So we're excited for it, and I really would, you know, if people can spare a Hail Mary or two, this would be one project to please pray for, is the, you know, that work of unification and strengthening that we're undertaking through the branding effort.
I'm guessing our listeners can spare a Hail Mary or two for that, for our Catholic schools. Absolutely, yeah, and thanks for asking for that. Well, obviously, there's lots of stuff going on. Anything in particular that's that we can look forward to, the faithful of the Archdiocese can look forward to in this coming year, in 2023, from the Office of Mission for Catholic Education?
Yeah, I'd say we're going to stay the course here and really put some hard work to it. And so what I mean by that is really simple, and that not only are we excited to fully use the new brand to promote our Catholic schools across the 12 counties of the metro area, but we're also looking forward to advancing the mission of Catholic education through a number of initiatives. Schools are participating in something called the Archdiocesan Catholic School Study. It's a type of kind of Catholic school accreditation that really seeks to promote a clear vision for quality and excellence in Catholic schools, what it is really to be rooted so deeply in Jesus Christ. And we'll continue to support leaders and teachers with professional development and formation opportunities in the new year. So one of the areas that we're really looking at that emerged in a serious way out of the pandemic was a need to really kind of help ensure that our kids are safe when they're in front of screens. That's just become such an area that parents are asking for more help, more support in, and we think Catholic schools are well positioned as they support parents so well in their vocations to assist with.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and I'm sure that there are many, many unsung people and tasks that the Office of Mission for Catholic Education is that make up the office and that you are doing in our midst to help maintain and to further Catholic education in our midst. Well, Jason, just about a minute left here, but I guess in summary form, how would you encourage parents to consider Catholic schools as an opportunity for their children?
Yeah, I mean this is the big question, right? You know, is, you know, thinking about any parent, and I'm a parent, I've got children, as I look at this question of a school, what I look for so much is, you know, a one that's going to be a real partner with me in the education of my children. And I think for every parent, deep down, they really desire their school to be a partner. So in the teachers and the leaders and the culture of the place, that it is one really that can help to complement the work of the family, to help build up the work of the family, and to really help the child to understand so much their God-given purpose and God's plan for their life, and where their gifts and talents lie, and to really help to bring those to greater fulfillment. And that's something Catholic schools were founded to do, have always done, and I think in recent years have proven in ways we could have never imagined just how steady and good of a partner they are with mothers and fathers in the education of their children. So I think for any parent who may be listening who has been thinking about a Catholic school, I'd really urge them to reach out to their local school, to go on a tour, to talk with other parents about their experience in the school, to get a sense of the teachers, but to see there that they have a real partner if a Catholic education is the thing that they seek for their child, and that we're eager to find what ways we can to make that possible for them. So it's a big question, Patrick, and forgive me that I can't kind of get into a number
no,
of the other reasons, but
I think you gave a very laudable answer there, Jason, and I wouldn't expect anything less from the Director of Catholic Education. So, Jason Slattery, so grateful that you joined us on Practicing Catholic. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it very much. Persevere.
Yeah, amen to that. Give the Office of Mission for Catholic Education, a follow by searching for Catholic Schools ArchSPM on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on YouTube. Coming up next, we continue the Catholic Schools Week excitement by hearing about the importance of scholarships and financial support. It's sure to be a good one. Stay with us.
There were so many people with so many different issues. Every one of us has something that blocks us from growing in this relationship with Jesus.
Relevant Radio contributor Marcel Lejeune.
You know, I've been thinking about this for myself, and I would challenge all our listeners to also think about it. What is it right now that is in between you and Jesus? Is it past hurt or history? Is it something, you know, a grudge that you're holding on to? Is it a particular sin? Is it a wound? Is it that you're scared? Is it that you're more worried about the things of the world than the things of heaven? What is it? Name it, and then offer that thing back to Jesus so that he can do the work. Because unfortunately, we tried so hard in this relationship with Jesus to do all this work, when really it's about abandoning ourselves to what God wants to do in us. And that's where things really change. And he's the one who wants it more than we do.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, pleased to be with you again, along with Cami Refume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Well, we know here on Practicing Catholic that receiving a Catholic education is truly a gift. The beauty of being able to pray in a classroom, the friendships and morals that are shaped around truth and love, and of course the catechesis that goes on in the classroom, all these certainly invaluable. But not everyone is able to easily afford to send their children to private schools, which is where our friends at the AIM Higher Foundation come in. Joining us to share more about scholarship opportunities and the impact of financial aid is Laura Hester, Director of Scholarship Programs for the AIM Higher Foundation. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Patrick. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure is all ours, certainly. We can certainly speak to the value of Catholic education. I think many of our listeners would be easily ready to do that. But we know that affording a private education, you know, it can be a struggle for many folks. So introduce us, Laura, to how the AIM Higher Foundation works to bridge that gap.
Absolutely. Well, so here at the AIM Higher Foundation, we do one thing. We provide tuition assistance scholarships so that families and their students are able to access the life-changing benefits of a Catholic school. But as you said, we've seen in every area of our life, especially these days, that things continue to increase in cost. Right. And sometimes that cost is just too high for many families desiring this incredible education. So that's where AIM Higher steps in. We are a bridge between families desiring the education along with the schools they look to attend, and we provide these tuition assistance scholarships. So every scholarship is $1,000, and it is awarded to a child and a family based solely on financial need. And that scholarship actually follows the student year over year. So once we make a commitment to a family, barring no significant change in their financial circumstances, they're actually able to rely on that gift of a scholarship every year from kindergarten through eighth grade. So assuming a child receives it in their kindergarten year, that's a $9,000 commitment we are making to a child of God to be able to take a seat in a Catholic school and experience those benefits.
Amazing. And I'm just taking a glance at your website, aimhigherfoundation.org, and says that you support students in every Catholic school serving grades K through 8 in the Archdiocese. Is that right?
That's right, yes. So a school has to begin in the year of kindergarten, but then every school that serves grades K through 8, along with the schools that do serve 6 through 12 or 7 through 12, if a student was an AIM Higher recipient, that scholarship will transfer with them should they transfer during those middle school years to any school through 8th grade. That's right.
Yeah. And Laura, you are right in saying that the cost of living is definitely on the rise, on the increase, and we've seen that throughout. All of us have been affected by that. But it looks to me like, again, from your website, it looks to me like the generosity of people around the Archdiocese and giving to the AIM Higher Foundation has increased as well, because it says that so far in this school year, 22-23, you've awarded more scholarships than ever before. That's amazing.
We have been on that trajectory for many years now, Patrick. It's an incredible gift thanks to the incredible generosity of this Catholic community. Yes, this year we're supporting over 10% of every student in grades K through 8 within our Archdiocese, which is over 2,152 scholarships this year. But over the last 10 years, we have actually awarded over 14,000 scholarships worth more than $12.8 million, with, again, immense gratitude to those within our community who are making that possible.
That's amazing. So that's where the funding comes from, is from the faithful? I mean, I suppose individuals and businesses?
Yes, all of the above. It's anyone who understands the diamond in the rough that is Catholic education. Our donors don't necessarily have to be Catholic, but they understand the importance of the Catholic faith in sculpting the leaders of tomorrow. That, you know, it's interesting when you look at our Catholic schools. Interestingly enough, the NAEP study this last October said that if all of the Catholic schools within our nation were a state, we would be performing number one in the country for both math and reading, which is pretty unique coming out of the pandemic, but also it's not unique because we know of the excellence. But I think it's much more than that. We know it's academic excellence, but it is this faith-based component in sculpting the leaders of tomorrow to be the people that God has chosen them to be. And having that ability, people see the value in that no matter their background. And so the support we receive comes largely from our Catholic community and then some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's great. We just had Jason Slattery on as well. And now we're having you on, especially as we're heading into Catholic Schools Week this week and celebrating all that they are. Because I think a lot of times in society, we can run into perhaps, you know, celebrities and that sort of thing who say that they went to Catholic school, but, you know, that it didn't really make much of an impact on their life. And now they're out. But you and Jason are both saying, oh, wait now, let's look at this under the lens of reality here and see the impact that it's making in people's lives, right?
It's making an incredible impact. We see that graduates of Catholic schools are more civically engaged, more service-oriented, more likely to vote, not to mention graduate with an excellent education second to none.
Wow. It's a gift. It truly is a gift, without a doubt.
It is a gift, and it's interesting to look at. We all know these benefits, especially, you know, as a product of Catholic education myself. I have seen that. I have two very young children. I am excited for them to get to experience the benefits as well. But at AIM Higher, it's interesting to see, well, we all know that the amount of need is ever growing. You know, after we were able to be in person these last few years and we saw the increase in Catholic school enrollment across our archdiocese, we at AIM Higher continue to see an increase in applications. This year, we had more than 6,000 applications for our 2,100 spots.
Wow.
And that need continues to increase. We have 2,800 applications that present with full need, meaning that these families desire the education for their children, but on paper are not able to pay a dime toward it. Yeah. And we see the sacrifices they make. We hear their stories. We read every story that's submitted to us. And it just continues to fuel our fire to reach for the ability to serve even more students and their families, and in doing so, serve our community.
You talked about reading stories there, Laura, and we're speaking with Laura Hessler here, who is the Director of Scholarship Programs for the AIM Higher Foundation. And Laura, you mentioned stories. Any remarkable stories that you could share on the air? Anything that comes to mind of really remarkable stories?
Absolutely, Patrick. I can tell you there are too many to name. It's the greatest privilege to sit in this seat and be able to read these very intimate stories and details of people's lives who are so desperately asking for a partnership to obtain a Catholic education. Most recently at our last Night of Light, which is our annual fundraiser, we had a student named Daniel come and speak. And Daniel is currently a senior in college at Drake University, but was one of the first recipients of an AIM Higher scholarship at Nativity of Mary in Bloomington. And he came and was our keynote speaker to speak to the way that his AIM Higher scholarship changed the trajectory of his life and his family's life. And he is now looking to go into nonprofit management and look for a way to continue to give back as a student who, you know, a first generation college student and someone who may not have had these opportunities without this assistance. But Daniel is no anomaly as far as the families that we see as their scholarship applications. Yeah. You know, just the other day I read an application from a family whose kindergartner just experienced cardiac arrest, and they are now drowning in medical debt and so desperately want to keep their son at his Catholic school. And I mean, I get chills thinking about it, because being able to make that call and tell a family, yes, there is a support in this community that desires to partner with you and make this possible, take off whatever tiny burden we can of what sounds to be the most difficult situation as a parent. We have that ability to do that here at the Aim Higher Foundation, and it's a gift to be able to offer to families looking for that help.
Well, I certainly hope that those who are listening who do support the Aim Higher Foundation can really, be assured and consoled by the fact that their donations are going to help some of these very situations and to help these families out who are looking at need but want to keep their children involved in Catholic education. I think that's just such a noteworthy and notable thing that we can do in our local church to uphold forward the faith. But maybe that there are those listening who say, well, I haven't given before, but this might be a place where I want to give. So how can people find out more about the Aim Higher Foundation and perhaps even make a donation?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I appreciate you asking. You know, we do one thing. We provide tuition assistance scholarships to allow families to access the life-changing benefits of a Catholic education. And to do so, we wouldn't be able to, first and foremost, without prayers. This work is fueled by prayer. It's fueled by the kindness of that people feel so moved to donate. And so I would ask for your prayers in being able to continue to meet the ever-increasing need of our applicant pool. And then beyond that, yes, we would ask, if you do feel so moved, we are fueled by fundraising. And so if people are interested in making a donation, they are welcome to visit our website at aimhigherfoundation.org. They also would be more than welcome to sit down with our new president, Ricky Austin, who was recently promoted into this role after being with us for over 5 years here. Additionally, as I mentioned, our Night of Light, that's our main annual fundraiser, and that is coming up on September 30th. That'll be here in the Twin Cities Metro. We would love to have anybody come and join us for that. But if you do have a listener who feels so moved to understand how to get involved a little bit more deeply, please reach out to us personally. You're welcome to give the office a call. Again, they can visit that website, aimhigherfoundation.org, aimhigherfoundation.org. And we'd love to have them sit down. I could tell them more about our scholarship program or get them a meeting with our president, Ricky Austin. That would be something that we would absolutely welcome.
And I assume if there are parents who are wanting to apply for a scholarship, that's also where they should go, aimhigherfoundation.org?
Yes, sir. They are more than welcome to do that. Our application pool is open, or the application period, I should say, and that is open through February 22nd. We are currently accepting applications for the 23-24 school year, and the vast majority of our funds do go out in this first round. So if parents are listening and are interested, we do have scholarships available. We would love to talk with you about how to help your family be able to either begin experiencing or continue to experience the Catholic education that your family may desire. And so they're welcome to go to our website, and or I would be happy to talk with them personally.
Laura, we are so grateful for all the work that the Aim Higher Foundation does, the work that you personally are doing, and all your leadership team and board of directors and everybody who's involved, especially the donors, of course, and grateful that you are there serving the needs of our Catholic education, our Catholic schools, and most importantly, our Catholic families and students in the midst of our local church. So thank you. Thank you for being on the program today, and God bless you in all your continued work.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Thank you to you and everyone at Relevant Radio as well for giving us this opportunity, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Excellent. So as Laura just said, Laura Hester, the Director of Scholarship Programs for the Aim Higher Foundation, she just said scholarship information and more information on the great work of the Aim Higher Foundation in our local church is available online at aimhigherfoundation.org. Coming up after this quick timeout, some enriching events to partake in this and next month. So stick around.
everything is going along well, and then all of a sudden when a cross comes into your life, it's like, uh-oh, it upsets everything. Father Richard Leonard, our guest.
A very tragic family event in my own life, where my sister was in a car accident. It was a really tragic outcome for our family, and it forced me to ask the question, well, how do you find God in the valley of tears and the shadow of death? And how do we hold on to faith, hope, and love when everything goes wrong? And that's one of the big blocks to being on mission with Christ, that when things get really tough, then people can walk away and say, well, my faith didn't help me there. And I think God weeps with us in terrible moments. Like, God doesn't send evil things. We don't believe that God deals in evil. So when tragedy happens, when evil things happen to people, we have to have a very deep Catholic spirituality that says God is accompanying us, God is meeting us, God is intersecting with us right at the moment we most need him.
Life Solutions.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. And man, after a show like that, I hope that people are just saying, you know what, I got to check out some of their other interviews that they've conducted, which, because, you know, there have been a number of great folks on the program. To check out our podcasted interviews, go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for Practicing Catholic Show, or jump on over to practicingcatholicshow.com. And, you know, Cammy, I was looking at the upcoming events here that we're highlighting tonight, or today, and in this time. It might be tonight. Well, it might be. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's interesting the way you assigned these out. So I'm talking about a women's conference, and Paul's talking about a newly married retreat. So
switch it up a little, you know?
Yeah, okay. All right. I get it. That's all right. Well, I'll start off then. The Wine Catholic Women's Conference, see, I'm already messing up, is coming up February 17th and 18th at St. Bartholomew and Wayzata. Now, if you don't know about wine, you need to find out about wine. Women in the New Evangelization. This year's theme for the conference is a spiritual spa, come to the living waters. It is going to include Mass with Archbishop Hebda, inspirational talks by amazing Catholic speakers, opportunities for confession, adoration, prayer with a prayer team, and then shopping.
How about chocolate?
Oh, that's in there too, I think.
I'm guessing chocolate will be in there. Yeah, a fabulous lunch, laughter, and all more. So deadline to register. Again, conference is February 17th and 18th. Deadline to register is February 11th. So check it out.
See, you did just fine. Right?
Okay,
you did
thank
just
you,
great.
Kate. I'll take that from you.
I'm just excited.
Being a woman.
I'm just excited to talk about the Catechetical Institute School of Discipleship. So
that's
maybe that's why I did it that way. But anyway. Yeah. You might have been hearing about this already as part of our Archdiocesan Synod process, but the School of Discipleship is open to all. So it's through the Catechetical Institute. The first class begins February 7th, so coming up here. And it's a course over 7 parts. You'll be led by Jeff Cavins, who's also been on the show and is just a phenomenal speaker and teacher. You'll be taught by him as you learn what it takes to be a fully activated disciple, so going out and actually evangelizing others. So all of our synod evangelization teams throughout our archdiocesan parishes will be taking part in this School of Discipleship, and it's also open to the public. So if you would like to join, be sure to head over to register at cistudent.com. So catechetical institute student.com.
Yeah.
Well, it's been many, many, many years since I was newly married. But I do want to give one last plug for the newly married retreat.
Yeah.
Couples married 0 to 7 years are invited to attend the 2023 Archdiocesan Newly Married Retreat. Keynote speakers, Pat and Kenna Malaya of the Martin Center for Integration. It's coming up February 4th, which happens to be my wedding anniversary at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. Registration closes on February 2nd, so you have lots of time. Cost $45 per couple. That includes a light breakfast, catered lunch, and a workbook.
All right. Well worth it, right, Cammy?
Totally. Definitely. Highly recommend.
And don't forget that the podcast, or the Pastoral Letter podcast, is available now. So check that out, archsbm.org/synodletter. And then coming up on the show next time, we've got nationally recognized speaker Leah Darrow, who's going to join us to share about how the fullness of faith drew into a dramatic lifestyle change. We're going to talk about, Carrazio is going to talk about the World Day of the Sick Mass, which is coming up on February 11th. And finally, yep, we got him too, Bishop-elect Eisen. He's going to have a Practicing Catholic exclusive. That's all coming up on the show next time. Thank you for listening this time. And in the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.